When the hammer of suffering keeps falling, it can feel like you are stuck between a rock and a hard place. But what if the rock is actually a means of provision? What if that hard place is actually holy?
Welcome to the Rock in a Holy Place podcast, where we explore what it means to see suffering as a place where God is not only present, but active, and how he was able to use suffering for our greatest good and for his ultimate glory.
I'm Sheila Adkins.
And I'm Grace Kelly. We've seen God in our own difficult seasons of life, and we want to share the hope that we've found with you.
We're so glad you're joining us today. Welcome, listeners. For today's episode, we interviewed Grace's soon-to-be sister-in-law, Ashley. She shares about the season of her deepest suffering following the tragic death of a friend and how it formed her spiritually and drew her closer to God. We know you'll be impacted for the better after listening to Ashley's story. So here it is, a special interview with Ashley Graham.
Welcome, Ashley. We're so happy to have you here on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Okay, so listeners, for those of you that don't know, which is most of you probably, Ashley is about to be my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
In just a few months. She is marrying my adorable baby brother, who is now all grown up, and I'm not going to cry about it, but she's wonderful, and we're so thankful to have her in our family, and just so thankful to have her here on the podcast today, listeners. She is going to share a really sweet and really painful story. And I'm just really thankful for her generosity in sharing it. So Ashley, could you briefly describe that greatest season of suffering that you've experienced?
Yes. Yeah, so 3 years ago, one of my greatest friends was murdered. Her name was Serena Garcia. I remember the exact day it happened when I heard the news, and I was in complete shock. I didn't really know what to feel. I just knew it didn't feel real, and I was kind of confused. I had just been with her a couple days before it happened. The following months after her death were very hard. I didn't feel like going anywhere. I ate, but I didn't feel like eating. I'm not somebody that cries very much or lets people see me cry. So everyone was seeing me cry because my heart just felt completely shattered. This was something I had never felt before, and I was hurting for our sweet family and friends. And I won't go into details too much on the way her death happened, but it was a very tragic death.
That's so painful. And can you tell us just a little bit about Serena? Just tell us a little bit about her.
So
how old was she? And
she was 21. She had just had her 21st birthday in February and in 2018, and it happened in April 2018. So she was pretty new, newly 21, and I had just been with her at her birthday. She was very positive and uplifting person, just super nice, friendly to everyone. She gave all her time to everyone that she had a relationship with, and she was just always there for you, and she was just such a really, really good friend.
Yeah. Was she studying to be a nurse? I feel like I remember something about that.
Yeah, she had just got her CNA license right before April. So she was pretty newly into that. She had just gotten it a job as well to do what she was pursuing.
Yeah, she's just a really sweet, servant-hearted person from what I have heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I mean, just not that death isn't always sad, but especially when it's someone so young, so full of life and love and everything, and it's so tragic. Like, I feel like there's a special grief that comes with that. So could you share with us a little bit, how did you relate to God before Serena's death, and what changed after?
So I was baptized my junior year of high school. All throughout my childhood and school years, I believed in God and I went to church, but I don't really know if I paid close attention to his word or really applied it to my life in the way that, you know, a close follower would do. But before Serena's death, I was kind of still in that state. I believed in God, but I never really studied, you know, the Bible or had a really big relationship with him. After her death, my spiritual journey changed significantly. I was crying all night in my bed one night, and I woke up one Sunday, and I just told myself, I'm just going to go to church. And God was speaking to me to just go. So I got up and I went by myself and sat in the front row. During the worship songs, I didn't really even stand. I just sat there and cried the entire time. When the pastor walked on stage, he told everybody that the sermon that he was teaching on was how to deal with grief. Mm. So it was that morning that I was like, okay, like, all right. So I just really, I took notes. I mean, I filled a page, like 2 pages worth of notes from that sermon. And I just kind of went over them every now and then. And I started actually a book when she died. And I've written in it almost every day until now. Mm, so it's been wow. 3 years later.
Wow.
But that church service is what started that process. And I would just write all my thoughts down, all my grief, all my church sermon notes to go back over and all that stuff. Yeah. So she really impacted my spiritual journey a lot, that I didn't even know that I was in that state, you know, unless her death didn't happen. Like, I wouldn't have even known what was going on.
Right. Have you ever gone back and looked over that journal, like at the beginning?
Yeah, I read through it every now and then. I'll start on page 1 and just read all the really sad, heartbroken notes that I had wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really painful time that I just felt in my chest. Like I felt like it wasn't ever going to get back to a normal place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably isn't like normal. Still, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's easier maybe now than it was, but I mean, I guess how would you describe it is now, how it is now for you 3 years later?
Now it's like I remember it, and I'm happy and thankful for those times and memories that I did have, so I'm able to look back on those times. But sometimes something will happen where it kind of unpatches those wounds again, like that I obviously didn't know, you know, was still there. But yeah, I still struggle with thinking about her every now and then. And sometimes I go to her gravesite just kind of when I feel like I need positivity sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because it's a cemetery, you know,
right.
But it's just her spirit that was so positive and uplifting towards others. So
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you said she was really positive and so uplifting. So what did she teach you? Like, what were the big lessons that she taught you through your friendship, like that you now look back on really fondly?
During our friendship, I actually met her through another friend. I didn't meet her just on her own. From the first day I met her, she was just so involved and invested in you. You could just be super real and open with her. And I'm not a very open person. Like, I'm very reserved, especially when I first meet people. I just don't go full personality. but
not many of us do.
Yeah.
Grace is an anomaly.
I'm special.
But with her, it was kind of interesting because she was very intentional with, you know, like, how are you doing? And, you know, you would be able to just say whatever. And even if you felt like what you were feeling was wrong, like, she would just make you, you know, she would just validate how you feel. And she just taught me how to be a really good friend to others. After her death, I kind of looked at my relationships and I was like, am I really like investing my time in other people, you know? And so that from her, she kind of taught me that, along with the positivity and yeah, just her uplifting spirit.
So how do those things still impact your life now?
Every now and then I get stuck in this mindset of like being overly critical of myself and negative and everything. And the relationship that I had with her, I didn't really have with anybody else, especially a friend. So because she taught me how to be, you know, a good friend and be more intentional with people, it just impacted the way I saw life, especially with my spiritual journey kind of improving after she died. I kind of looked at life with like a different lens than I did before. After she died, every single interaction that I would have, I'm like, what if that was the last time I'm going to see that person, you know? And so it just makes you want to be more vocal about, you know, loving others and that type of thing.
Yeah. Grief is like a lens for just realizing like the preciousness of life, I think. Yeah. So on this podcast, we talk a lot about spiritual formation. And for those of you that don't know, we don't always use those words, spiritual formation, but spiritual formation is basically just how the things we go through in life, they form how we relate to God. They shape how we relate to God, for better or worse, really.
And we are very interested in the spiritual formation that comes through suffering, and especially in sharing stories where the suffering leads us to having a deeper, more meaningful, more connected relationship with God, because I think it often does. So I wanted to hear from you, Ashley. How did this newfound connection with God contribute to your healing from this terrible loss?
When I think back to shortly after that time, a couple months after she died, I think of one specific moment that was kind of a healing moment for me. Just certain things would happen where, like, her and I went to the New Mexico Balloon Fiesta right before she died. And I saved our ticket from that time, and I put it in my wallet. Months after she died, I was walking to the parking lot from school, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye fall on the ground. And I was like, I don't know what that was. And I kind of looked all on the ground, and it was the Balloon Fiesta ticket. And I was just like, that's so weird. Like, I just felt her spirit. Like, I'm like, I feel like she knows kind of what's going on. Or like, I know, I feel like God's watching, she's watching. Like, I feel both of their spirits. And so then I got my car and I was on my way home. And the song "I Am Not Alone" by Carrie Job came on. And that was a song that was kind of repetitive. So I didn't ever really like pay attention to the words or anything, but I was listening to it, and there were certain parts of the song that would just trigger, like, I'm not alone in my grieving. Like, her family is grieving, her friends are grieving. And the lyrics that say, "In the midst of deep sorrow, I see your light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I'm pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle, and I will not fear." And whenever I heard those words, I was just crying my entire way home. And it was a cry that like felt like a good cry. Like, I needed those words. I needed to hear that song in that moment. So little things like that would happen every now and then where it was healing me. It was sad, but it was healing me at the same time. Like the day of her funeral, I got back home and I looked out the window, and there was pretty much a big hot air balloon right in my front yard. So little things like that, I'm like, all right, everyone's still here. Like, we're all good.
Yeah.
That was a big part of my healing journey. I kind of looked at things with a different perspective than I did before. Just kind of like, God still got me. Like, Serena's spirit, I still feel her, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So
nothing truly good is ever lost forever. That's a C.S. Lewis from Narnia quote. Yeah, that's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I've had weird moments like that too, like with my grandmama. Like, every so often I will, like, I was like in a moment of distress once getting blood drawn for an unknown illness that never got diagnosed. And I like smelled her perfume, and there was no one else there. Oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's totally, like, you know, it's the cloud of witnesses, right? Yeah. Like those that have gone before us that love the Lord are still with us. Like, and you know, I think more than we realize. I don't know exactly how that works. I feel like the Bible's not super specific about that. So just knowing that God's with us, and that, yeah, there is a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering us on as we are continuing to walk this road. Yeah. Okay. So what would you want to share with somebody who is going through something similar to what you went through? Something, a terrible grief, a terrible tragedy, a loss like that.
There was different stages to my grief. There was a, like, a sadness, there was a hurt, there was an anger. There was a bunch of different stages to the grief. And sometimes just letting yourself grieve and not trying to, you know, make everything look okay to everybody. Because I kind of fell apart, like, after that happened.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was with every interaction. Like, I didn't feel like being myself, you know, at that time.
Right.
Shouldn't say myself, but it didn't feel like putting on, you know, a happy face.
A face, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I think it's just necessary to grieve and allow yourself to grieve. And then also allowing yourself to heal, because you have to look kind of in a different, you have to shift your perspective sometimes when it comes to God's spirit and him being there and helping you through everything. And so, yeah, just persevering through the suffering and, you know, just knowing that there will be a light at the end of all the darkness is something that was a really big thing for me when I lost her.
Were there any scriptures that were especially meaningful to you during that time?
Yeah. So James 1:12, it says, Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So just that verse alone, like I wasn't really focused on God in that moment, and that one morning where it just kind of, I just got a spark and God was like, just go to church, like, you know, just go listen. And so I went and sat, and it kind of, you know, I persevered through that whole sermon, and I learned so much from that one sermon. That message just kind of spoke to me, because you have to persevere through the trial, you know, and you'll receive, you know, good news when you stick with God's word.
Yeah, his word really is a comfort to us. And I think that's, I love that, you know, the Lord prompted you to go to church before you were really like necessarily walking with him. I feel like that's such good proof of like, mm-hmm. he is like such a pursuer, mm-hmm. like he comes after us, mm-hmm. like, and in the deepest darkness, like he is there. And he desires relationship with us. And he is the only one that can actually give us hope, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, in the circumstances of life, right? Because like pretty much everything you shared, like all the hope is in an eternal place, right? Mm-hmm. Like none of that is like, oh, well, it's all fine now. No, it's like none of it is like fine now. Like all of this is like, there's an eternal perspective. There's an eternal hope that you're going to see Serena again. Mm-hmm. And that God is with you while you're here, and that all our tears are going to be wiped away. Mm-hmm. Even the ones that come from terrible, horrible, evil acts.
I'd say especially those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially those. Amen, sister. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I don't know if there's anything else you would love to share with our listeners today, Ashley.
Just that if you're going through suffering, just to have your hope in God and faith in God, and just stick with his word, because it really helps you. Just open the Bible.
Yeah. Sheila and I like to say, read the whole thing. On read the whole thing. Yeah. Were you going to say that? Sassy again. She was feeling sassy. Sheila's not sassy ever, listeners. I don't know why you would say that. So it's her. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for being here. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story, mm-hmm. and Serena's story. And we just are so grateful for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's our episode for today. If you found this episode encouraging, please share, review, and subscribe to the Rock and Holy Place podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on social media. We are at The Rock and a Holy Place on Instagram and at A Holy Place Pod on Twitter. And be sure to check out Grace's blog at gracekelly.blog. That's GRACEKELLEY.blog. And now, a benediction. For those wrestling with the pain of a loved one taken tragically and far too soon, may you see the daily reminders of God's presence with you in your grief. May you learn to recognize the sound of his voice amidst your deepest sorrow. And may you always remember that death is not the end of the story.